Well, a very good Tuesday to you. The 14th day of April. I don't like to even say the date when it's this close to tax time, which, as you know, is tomorrow, April 15th, unless you're getting an extension, which seems to be. The poor folks at UHY who do such a nice job for me, they must look at me and my paperwork and go, are you kidding me? How does this guy get out of bed in the morning? Because I'm not organized with these adult responsibilities. I never have been. Anyway, so tomorrow's tax day, or tax extension day, as it stands. The team is here. Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason. Is Rich back? Rich Luzinski?
Nope, we've got Jason until next week. Rich is right, okay. Enjoying a well-deserved week off.
I see him, Rich, back on the list, and I thought, well, there's a good chance because Jason Fistler must be back in because nobody takes one day. So God bless him for taking the week. And Jason's doing a great job. And together, all of us are Relentless Positive Radio. And they keep changing things around because, you know, we now, Facebook, YouTube pages, do live streaming for the show. We're live streaming. And they keep me on my toes by putting Mike and Danielle in different boxes. What's going on?
Wait, am I normally, it's been a while, so am I normally on the other side?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Well, you can do it that easily? You just threw a button and that was it?
I'm a very powerful magician.
You are. Now I'm confused. Now I'm not sure you are on the far left. I think you are far left now that I think of your political leanings. But anyway, I don't know. Danielle keeps track of these things. Danielle, you're where you're supposed to be now or not?
No,
were you on the other side?
I think I was on the other side.
I thought it was till.
For the whole, you mean? Okay, yeah.
Let's do that thing where they do with the cup. All right, which cup is Paul under? You got to pick.
Where's the puppy finding the kibble under the cup?
That's right.
The puppy's so happy, finds one little kibble.
Right.
And then they lift the other one, and there's a whole pile of kibble, and he goes, the dog looks at you like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You do that to me, really?
Yeah. I mean that too, Buster.
All right. Now that we've got all that, that 18 people see, you know, folks, tune in and watch us. It's really a lot of fun. You never can tell what's happening behind the scenes if you get a chance to do the Facebook, YouTube pages while you're obviously not driving and you're home or at the office live streaming right now, and they keep running that. We're right here where we love being, between the Daily Dose of Dietz with All Talk and Kevin Dietz, and then right after us, JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani. You have hit the sweet spot of this great radio station. You wake up in the morning with a great morning show, JR Mornings, and then after JR, after Ryan Armani, we have Mitch Albom. After Mitch Albom, we have Sports Wrap. After Sports Wrap, we're off to the races. Because it changes, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, so just
7 o'clock hour changes
just,
every
just
day.
Just stay tuned to us because you never know what you're going to hear next.
No, you never do. All right, here's one thing you're going to hear. Yeah, you're going to hear the name President Donald Trump. And that's been that way almost since the moment he got elected. Is that true? I mean, since he started running, really. Well, even since he started running.
But it wasn't President Trump, so yeah, you're right, since he got elected.
Always something interesting to talk about. Generally respectful, but there are times where we have to honestly scratch our head and say, maybe this is what we put on the little rubber band around our arm. What were you thinking? And the what were you thinking part, forget about fighting with the Pope. I'm tired of trying to tell him how that just doesn't make a lot of sense. Whether you agree with the Pope or not, it's not the point.
Right.
You're the president of the United States, and you just go above all that. But then to come out with a little cartoon, you call it a meme, I don't know what you call it anymore. It's just, I'll tell you what it is, distasteful to make yourself, especially after attacking the Pope, to make yourself Jesus Christ and be healing people. And then to think that apparently we're so stupid, we are going to believe him when he says, I thought I was a doctor and making a promo for the Red Cross.
Yeah, my first thought was, how do Donald Trump's doctors dress at the office?
Must be very odd because they must be very old and biblical.
Right.
But here's the thing. This may be a reach. But remember, I've known him 40 years. he may not even be familiar with that iconic look that we've all grown up with as knowing Jesus Christ. He may not, he honestly, because there's a lot of stuff. As brilliant as he is in some ways, he is clueless in so many other ways. And one of them might be that he doesn't understand what an iconic picture that is of Jesus Christ healing someone. Because he wouldn't have said, oh, I thought that was me as a doctor. I mean, you can't, if you ever really paid attention and knew the other iconic picture, you wouldn't say that. But I think that he really may not be aware of it because it had nothing to do with real estate and business and all the things that have mattered to him greatly that can benefit our country. But then there are these moments when it's not such a benefit.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember when he held that Bible upside down and backwards, he didn't look like he was too familiar with the contents, so I guess...
What's your favorite passage in the Bible, Mr. Pratt? Oh, I like them all. Yeah, good answer. I tried to do that in high school.
He said 2 Corinthians. That's the whole ball game there, I remember. That was early on in his tenure.
All right, so anyway, you may not remember this, but I certainly do. There used to be, and maybe there still are, and they're available still because he still sells them. He's online. It's the fabulous aerial photo artist Dale Fisher's 93rd birthday today.
Wow.
These are those unbelievable shots taken from Dale hanging out of a helicopter. Many of them, maybe just because I was a Michigan student and many of them were Michigan related. The big house, you know, Wolverine Stadium, the whole deal. Beautiful artistic photographs taken from angles we never saw before because he was taking them hanging out of a helicopter. You are so fast.
Yeah.
Look at this. For those of you lucky enough on the Facebook and YouTube pages live streaming, you're seeing some of his photo work. I'll try to, for your those who can't see it, remind you that he's done these wonderful popular prints of Michigan Stadium at daytime, nighttime, the jets flying over.
I feel like if you have a basement or a man cave in Metro Detroit, you probably have one of these pictures hanging up there.
And if you don't, you should. Dale Fisher, aerial photo artist extraordinaire, turning 93 today. One of the nicest, sweetest people ever. There's a Zach Bryan, John Mayer.
Yeah,
Mayer
20,
concert.
2025, so he's been working.
He's still working, still hanging out of that helicopter and taking pictures.
I hope at the age of 90 I'm hanging out of anything.
Well, let me just tell you, I can guess just from looking ahead, at the age of 90, there'll be several things hanging out of you. And some of them no one told you about.
Right.
And I'm living with that myself. Anyway.
Others will require surgery.
Here's hoping you can avoid any surgery for anything hanging out of your body at any age. All right, we better move. We got a lot to talk about today. And a great guy to start the show off with, of course, the one and only Nolan Findlay. Stay with us in Focus with Paul W. Smith and the team on WJR. I don't know, maybe good job, Ryan Ermani. He's going to be talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. I mean, it's unavoidable. Maybe even Nolan Findlay has a thought. He's the editorial page editor of the Detroit News, all-around good guy, good friend, 50 years at the newspaper, co-author of the Civility book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide, with Nolan and Stephen Henderson, his friend. They don't agree politically, but they're friends. Remember when that used to be able to happen? And Lynn Goldner helping out, too. Nolan, good afternoon. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Hey, there's several things to talk about, not the least of which is the president being Jesus Christ. But that's another thing. Or the president going after the Pope. Or in the past, when I was screaming at the television screen, when he went after the Gold Star family. There are things he can avoid and not step into, but he does not apparently feel... He's not capable of not stepping into it. And I'm not, I can't believe that that's a plan. I really can't. I can't believe that he's so foxy, so wise that he does these things for some reason we can't figure out.
Now, Paul, I wrote a column after one of these episodes a year or so ago that he needed someone around him who could look at everything he does on social media and tap him on the shoulder and say, I'm not sure I'd do that. You know, you might not want to send that. And I think we all can use people like that right. around us who right. will protect us from our worst instincts. And I don't believe he's got anyone around him willing or capable of doing that, or at least, or if he does, he doesn't listen to him. But I mean, you should know, portraying yourself as Jesus and the Pope as your sort of the person you're consoling is not going to play well on social media. And it sends all kinds of messages about what's going on in your head. Does he have a messianic complex? I mean, does he think he's the savior of the world? What is this all about?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. And we could spend all day and not figure it out, but we're not going to. We've talked about it. I want to talk about a few other things. We got a couple of congressmen resigning after sexual misconduct accusations. I almost feel like one of those rich liberal guys gave money to the second congressman to quit so that it would take pressure off the Democrat quitting. And I want to point something out that really upsets me, and I try to point it out to my listeners whenever I see it. There's a People magazine story that Mike Parsons attached to your information today. And do you realize in the entire story, they mentioned the California gubernatorial frontrunner, Eric Swalwell, and the Texas Republican announced via social media they would step down from their positions. Do you know that nowhere in the People magazine article that I can see does it mention that Swalwell is a Democrat? The first thing they mention about the other guy is that he's a Republican. That happens all the time in the institutional media, all the time.
You always have to be wary of your news sources and make sure you're picking credible, unbiased sources the best you can. And, you know, I think People magazine shows its colors. But the California incident, I think, is the more curious of these two. And I'm not sure that there's not outside influence here. I mean, there's been some suggestions that Tom Steyer, the billionaire, multi-billionaire, who's also running for governor, might be behind that, because that one's as curious as can be. I mean, you've got a staffer who says he sexually assaulted her, raped her twice after nights of drinking, and that, you know, he has continually harassed her over a couple of years. Well, why is this just now coming up? And how credible are these claims? And, you know, you've got to look in this instance, I think, whether there isn't something else behind this, because they've got this jungle primary going on in California with some suggesting that, you know, you might get one or two Republicans in the final runoff. And, you know, I think there's some manipulation going on here.
But why would Swalwell go along with it if he truly believes he's not guilty? Why would he step away?
Because he's guilty of something. I mean,
everybody is, but
in his mind, he's guilty of something. And, you know, these are not allegations you can fight or survive, you know. But it just seems really strange. The one woman they're giving press to said, well, he asked if he could buy me a drink and got flirty in a bar. Well, we wouldn't have much of a Congress left if that was standard. And, I'm no fan of Slowell. I think he's smart of me, and I suspect he's a sleazebag. But I also feel like he might be getting railroaded here by folks with a lot more money than he's got.
Fascinating. I never thought of that. I actually thought that that somebody went up to the Republican who had not resigned, and we'd heard his story quite some time ago about one of his staffers that he had an affair with, and then she killed herself. I mean, yikes.
Now, that's a whole different category, Paul. I mean,
yeah. Never said he was going to resign until this guy says he's resigning.
That should have been an automatic resignation.
Yeah.
And whether the Swalwell resignation put him, in that position or not. He should have been gone from day one.
Right. News today, and I don't have her name. You've got this. This is a bad sign of things to come, and maybe it's a question of what took so long. But some reporter for Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, now run by his widow Erica, the reporter was attacked for just being on location at an event because of who she was reporting for, Turning Point USA. She was attacked, physically abused, pushed to the ground. I mean, this is a next step that's out of control here, and it'll be fascinating to see what happens to these people.
Well, it's that prevailing attitude, particularly on the left, that your beliefs are so righteous, and you have so many more rights than other people because of your beliefs. And I think it does lead to incidents like this. And you're right, it'll get worse. There's just no tolerance for opposing views in our society today.
It is a problem. It has some people not even wanting to talk about politics, the war in Iran, or anything among friends, because it can end friendships. It can divide families. It's just astonishing.
You wrote about that this week, yesterday, I guess, right? When did that column run? Monday?
Monday. Yeah. It seems like a long time ago. It was yesterday. The news cycle is blazing.
people should take a look at that. I mean, it's true. We're walking around on eggshells constantly because we don't know how to disagree civilly.
Is there a chance?
A book that might help you learn to do that, Paul.
You know, it's called The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We all need to read it now more than ever. Unfortunately, the people who really need to read it don't think they need to. Because they're right and there is no political divide.
Yeah, and that's...
It's just all those other people who were wrong.
And that's why we can't get anything done in either Washington or Lansing. There's no give. There's no room for consensus or compromise. It's 100% my way or we're not going anywhere. You know, this country's not moving. The state's not going to move unless it moves the way, one side wants it or the other.
The book is The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide by Nolan Finley, Stephen Henderson. These are two guys that are politically at opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're very good friends. You see, it can be done, my friends. Used to be done in Washington. They'd fight like hell during the day and then go to Old Ebbets Grill and have a cocktail with the guy they were screaming at earlier. But it doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Thanks, Nolan. Appreciate it. We'll always have plenty to talk about, and you're one of the great guys we like to go to. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Paul. Thank you.
All right, you take care. As we continue... Well, residents living along the Sheboygan River near the city's dam remain on alert as water levels continue creeping toward a dangerous threshold. Our WJR's Marie Osborne I made you one of the Osborne family. Marie Osborne joins us with the latest. And what I was going to say to you, Marie, is what I'm hearing is that people are saying who've lived there all their lives, they've never seen anything like it.
No, absolutely. That is the word coming from everyone in that area. So this morning, the waters behind the Sheboygan Lock and Dam are at about 7.7 inches below the crest of the dam. The water's rising more than 6 inches in just the last 24 hours. Emergency officials are saying that the surge of the spinoff, or the spring runoff, rather, fueled lingering snow melt and days of heavy rain. It's all pushed that into the river close to overtopping the dam. The tiered warning system is now in effect. We told you about this yesterday, the Ready, Set, Go. Authorities are asking people in these low-lying areas, pack essential items, move your valuables, stay clear of the riverbanks. Officials are stressing that conditions can change very quickly. especially with more rain that's expected in the days coming up. Officials have also placed 5 pumps at the dam. They're moving the water around it. They've placed hundreds of sandbags along the areas of the dam. What we don't know, is this enough? A precautionary flood zone has been identified downstream, where residents are asked to remain ready and to monitor official updates. Transportation officials have already closed the U.S. 23 bridge. This is a safety measure. And, Paul, by the way, alerts are going to be sent directly to cell phones of people who live in that area if evacuations are ordered, and they're going to have to move fast.
It's a terrible situation, and I'm going to salute all of the people who are so involved in preparing for this. No one's going to say that we weren't ready for this, as ready as you can be for this kind of a horrific disaster. I mean, aren't you impressed, yeah, Marie, by the fact there's so many people who are working on this and preparing people, so that there can't be anybody who doesn't know this is happening?
Exactly. They are doing a great job. And I know that local law enforcement and so on is on the case here. I've talked to a couple people up in that area, and they say that they are. It's just a scary, scary situation. This is different than what happened in Midland when the dam there, the Edenville Dam, people were not completely prepared. They were really unprepared for that, completely unprepared. So I think now they understand the devastation that could be caused by this if they're not working on it.
And think of this. Here you are facing all of that potential death and destruction, but certainly destruction, and realizing that Consumers Energy has announced that if it does come to be, they're going to have to turn the power off. You know how bad it is. I don't want to say we're lucky enough, but in a sense, we're lucky enough to maybe face a power outage once in a while. But imagine a power outage in the midst of all of this.
Oh, and that you can't, well, first of all, you can't power up your phone and your electronics. I mean, this is how you're going to communicate with people,
right?
Your electronics. You can't wash your clothes. You can't take a hot shower. I mean, all the things.
Over and above the big thing, which would be the potential devastating flooding. It's something. And yet there are people like customers at Catfisher Bait and Tackle in Sheboygan, a bait shop upstream of the Sheboygan Dam, who have a sense of humor, in a sense, if this is a sense of humor. They're referring to all of this as Damageddon. I mean, I guess you got to laugh if you can't, or you cry. You laugh or you cry, but I thought it was clever for them to be calling it Damageddon.
Very clever. And then this morning I saw Mandy Wright is one of the excellent photographers at the Detroit Free Press, and she did a photo expose in the Free Press. You can go see it if you'd like. But she interviewed a young couple who were out with a stroller looking at what was happening, and their last name was Dam.
Oh, my gosh. What are the odds?
I know.
What do the dams think about the dam problem?
I was surprised that the headline writer could resist something completely clever on that.
That is something that's hard to resist, isn't it? All right. Anything else we need to know about our
keep
friends,
our
family, neighbors in Sheboygan?
Yeah, keep our eye on this one. So many of the people we know, right, have cottages up in that area. And, it's their happy place.
We are fortunate to live in such a beautiful part of God's country, but we also face some challenges. Now, not like lots of other people in lots of other places where they live and they fight hurricanes and wildfires and mudslides and all of that.
Right.
That doesn't make this any easier, but I'm just saying it seems as if every place has its pluses and minuses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But who would have counted on or guessed that a dam would be the issue here? And hoping and praying that a very old dam, in many situations and cases, very old, is going to hold.
Absolutely. We're keeping an eye on it.
Okay. And I know you'll report to us whenever there's new information. WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News, Marie Osborne, as we continue with Paul W. Smith in Focus on WJR. Well, we enter into the confusing fray of war and standoffs and politics and your retirement program, your KEO, IRA, whatever they call it now. There are very few pensions anymore in the world. But thank goodness there are people like David Sowerby, a managing director, portfolio manager at Ancora Bloomfield Hills, to try to help us make sense of now apparently a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, what effect that will have on markets, on our retirement accounts, all of our investments, all of our costs, our gas, our fruits and vegetables, our, you know, groceries. And it's confusing because I thought we were fighting the Iranians to keep open the Strait of Hormuz. Now it seems like we're fighting them and we're going to close all of these ports. I hope David Sowerby, you can make some sense of this to help us not be so worried. Good afternoon, David.
Paul, always good to be with you. I think you can summarize it this way. You and I and all your listeners, we don't like paying $4 for a gallon of gas at all. And it cuts into overall consumer spending. However, since the start of the war with Iraq, the S&P 500 is actually flat now. U.S. small company stocks, which are generally a little more cyclical, they're up about to the good. They're plus 3%. So the stock market's been relatively resilient in the face of $100 oil and $4 for a gallon of gas.
Yeah, but I have to tell you this, and I've heard the president say this a number of times, the biggest stock market in our history and all of these sorts of things. I'm here to tell you, I do not believe the average person feels this. Or maybe the average person like myself doesn't understand this. And maybe you should explain to us how we are all indeed, unbeknownst to us, benefiting from the way the stock market is going and not worry as much about the $4 gas, which we paid $5 when Biden, so that I write that off, or the $100 oil or anything else that's going on. How are we benefiting and not getting it?
Well, let's cut it into two time periods. The first is longer-term wealth creation to pay for retirement, daughter's weddings, college education, you name it. That is still very much in force. But for the near-term pain, it is there. If you look at the price for a gallon of gas, $4, mortgage rates certainly higher than they were at the beginning of the year as interest rates went higher. That cost of borrowing has gone up. And then inflation running 3% compared to year-ago levels, that has marginally ticked higher. So I certainly understand to the average household that they're not happy with higher mortgage rates a little bit, higher gas prices by over a dollar a gallon, and inflation that's still running 3%, not 2%. So I think that's near-term discomfort. We don't like it. It's unacceptable. Long term, the market is creating wealth for households.
There's the line. Long term, the market is creating wealth for households. Break that down for the average person, not somebody on Wall Street, not somebody who's hugely invested, but for the average person who doesn't even think of themselves in the stock market, even though they are. If they have a 401k or any money set aside for retirement, it's probably
absolutely
in a mutual fund that either is being run by someone good like you, David Sowerby, or just sitting there. Try to help them understand how they're benefiting from this because they don't see it, feel it.
Sure. So that's the long-term wealth effect that your 401k, if you retired, you know, your IRA, your tax-exempt assets, your savings, to the extent you have a portion of that, maybe not all of it, but a portion of that in the stock market, that's improving your wealth creation. And we sit here today, and one of the reasons why stocks have been more resilient than otherwise expected with oil going up is that we're in the top of the first inning for first quarter corporate profit reports. And the likelihood is U.S. corporate profits are going to grow 10 to 12% up compared to year-ago levels. And that's really the lifeblood to the economy. It's the lifeblood to forward stock price returns is the health of U.S. companies and their ability to create shareholder wealth.
My fear is, but what came to my mind immediately, David Sowerby with us, Managing Director, Portfolio Manager at Ancora Bloomfield Hills. And by full disclosure, he's done work for us, and happily so. My fear is that these corporate profits are going up at the cost of them cutting jobs, because I'm hearing of so many jobs being cut so many places. Certainly, that's one way to increase corporate profits, but it doesn't help the average person unless they're a stockholder in that company, I guess.
Well, we are. I'd like job growth to be faster, but we are still increasing jobs, as we saw most recently in the month of March. Unemployment rate, roughly 4.5%, still pretty low in the state of Michigan, too, in within spitting range of U.S. unemployment rates. So companies are improving productivity. They're generating profits. They're spending on capital and equipment, and they're still hiring people. And I absolutely do not fall in the category that artificial intelligence is going to be a job killer. It's going to be a productivity enhancer and ultimately benefit the economy.
Well, I'm happy to hear you. You're a level-headed guy, because I know you so well. I've known you for years. I'm happy to hear you say that you believe that, because there are a lot of people who are scared of AI, and there's no shortage of stories of people telling us why we should fear AI. And I know that life is full of fear-mongers.
They are so hopefully wrong, Paul. The people who are most worried about AI destroying their jobs are probably in the industries where they're not a threat, and where AI, you know, maybe has some implications in some of the software industries. Those are where mid-level workers are encouraged by artificial intelligence, not to get sideways on it, but this is nothing more than the automobile, electricity, the internet. It's a productivity enhancer, and it's going to make the economy grow.
David Sowerby, Managing Director, Portfolio Manager at Ancora Bloomfield Hills. Whenever we're nervous about the economy, about investments, we rely on David Sowerby. Thank you, David.
My pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
We've got another hour to go in Focus with Paul W. Smith, right here with the team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Jason Fistler, in for Rich on WJR. I have such great respect for this man and his entire family. I've said it a million times. I don't need to say it every time, but I can't help myself, because he's just that kind of guy. And we are so lucky to have Michael Bouchard, his lovely wife, Pam, and their kids. And one of them you've gotten to know lately, because he's running for office, young Mike Bouchard. But the original Mike Bouchard, the Oakland County Sheriff, is on the line with me right now. Now I have to make it clear which Mike Bouchard I'm talking to, Sheriff.
Yeah, this is 1.0.
Well,
there's been an upgrade.
He's a good kid. You and Pam have done a great job with all your kids. But let me get to this point, because time always rushes by and we're having fun. You've created an idea that you want to try out for a 9-month trial of what's called flock surveillance drones. Tell me what that means.
Well, actually, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So, A, we don't want surveillance drones. And B, we're not creating something new. For almost 5 years, we've been running a program called DFR, Drones as First Responders. They're not used as a surveillance tool. They're used to respond to situations and calls specifically. So that if someone, for example, we pair two different technologies, both the drone and the thing we call live 911, so that our drone operators can geofence the calls that they can reach with a drone and listen to the actual caller. Somebody may be calling in saying, you know, there's somebody trying to break in my home and I'm terrified and here's my address. The drone operator can launch the drone even before a car gets sent and goes directly to the call, whatever that call may be. and it gets overhead and begins to transmit real-time information via the drone operator to the responding deputies that there's a car parked on the street. I see a person, he's wearing a blue jacket, he's trying to kick in the front door. Whatever the information is, they're relaying that real-time. We've been doing it for almost 5 years. So the misinformation is this is a new program, A or B, that it's a surveillance program. And it is not. And it's not either of those things. It's an existing program which responds to calls. It's not a surveillance program. It is a drone as first responder program. And the reason we're looking at other platforms, other equipment, is much like the analogy when they no longer made Crown Vicks at Ford, we had to decide, do we want Tahoes or Explorers or both? And so that's the same thing. Our current drone fleet, we no longer can get, and we have to find a replacement model. Flock is one of the American providers that is authorized by the federal government to be used in America. But the other one that we will also be looking at is called Skydio. So that's primarily what it is. Again, a lot of misinformation. Every DFR flight we fly, you can actually look at it on our transparency dashboard, and it shows you what the call was, what route they flew, and as soon as the call's over, the camera comes up to the sky and it flies back to base. So it's not a surveillance program, and it's not new.
Well, I have no problem with surveillance programs. I don't know why so many people do. I don't know why people start arguing and complaining about this and saying their rights are being infringed upon when it's for their own safety. That's for another conversation. The important thing to note here is this is apparently nothing new. You've been doing it for 5 years. And for example, the 9-month trial of Flock surveillance drones is, if I have the information correct, free. It doesn't cost anybody anything unless you continue the program after 9 months.
Correct. It's 100% free. And I doubt it's going to take us 9 months. And the only reason that actually came to the commission was out of an abundance of transparency, because a lot of people don't like the name Flock. So, you know, it's because of other kinds of things, other cameras, LPRs, and other things. So the reality is we can T&E test and evaluate equipment all the time without ever telling the public. We tell the public everything. That's why we have a public transparency dashboard. We have an 11-page policy on drone use that specifically says that it's not to invade privacy. It's not to be used to surveil people and all of the kinds of things people are talking about. We already both prohibit it by policy and by practice. And so our program has literally documented saved lives. And I'll tell you one quick story that kind of exemplifies the capability it has. So there was a case in Ohio where a woman called in among a number of callers to 911, said there's a guy with a gun, he's pointing at people, they're terrified. He could be a young kid, could be a juvenile, I'm not sure. But he's pointing this gun, people are terrified. It could be a toy gun, but I'm not sure. But people are terrified. Police roll up, the kid turns on them. It had been modified such that it didn't have an orange tip. It looked like a real gun. The police shoot him when he turns in their direction and kill him. Terrible tragedy. Fast forward, in our DFR program, Drones as First Responders, call comes in, person having a mental health crisis, he has a gun, DFR launches, is overhead before our deputies who are racing the scene get there. They spot the guy, they tell the deputies where he is so they know how to approach safely for them and the community, and they keep watching the guy as the deputies are traveling to the scene. Before the deputies get there, they say, he has a phone in his hand, not a gun. That's pretty important information now they don't approach him with guns out. They walk up to him saying, hey, what's going on, man? He had a gun, but it wasn't in his hands. So the drone information completely diffused what could have been a very tragic moment. Those kinds of things you can't put a price tag on. And those kinds of things are what we use for drones as first responders to go to events or situations where information can save lives.
Well, look, the average person hasn't known you as long as I've known you, and know you as well as I know you. Anything Sheriff Mike Bouchard comes up with that he wants to have at his availability as Oakland County Sheriff and for his hardworking men and women, I'm all for it because I completely trust him. Completely trust Sheriff Michael Bouchard in all the years I've known him. So he's in this business. This is what he does. People from around the country and around the world call upon him for help. So I'm just telling you, if he wants to do this, folks, let him do it. It's the right thing to do. He would not steer you wrong. He would not do anything that he didn't think was in the best interest of his constituents in Oakland County. I don't know how else to
put it. Anything that violates their rights or privacy, because I don't want that. This is strictly call and incident driven. And by the way, you know, when people talk about surveillance and drones, they're thinking of military drones. The ones we use have about 20 or 30 minute battery life. That's not a surveillance tool if it's got to come back to home after 20 minutes. And it has to, by law, be under 400 feet, which means you can see and hear it. So by no metrics is that a very effective surveillance tool, even if we wanted to, and we don't.
No, and I just got an idea. You can also deliver to-go food and try to get this paid for by offering another business.
Well, you raise an important point. You know who's way more violative of your privacy? Private companies. You know who's flying drones all over the place now? Amazon. They can videotape anything they want. They can sell that video or information. We share none of that with anyone. They can commercialize it. Next thing you know, you're going to be getting an ad saying, hey, your lawn furniture by your pool looks a little rough, Paul.
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to make a joke out of this. I'm trying to make a joke out of it. Now you got me scared to death. Okay.
Well, I'm saying that, you know, that's who's really going after our privacy is commercial businesses.
Okay, Michael. God bless you. Best to Pam and the family. Mike Bouchard, Oakland County Sheriff. He tells it like
all right,
it is.
My friend.
See you later.
Ah,
boy. 147 WJR. Speaking of friends, let me start with this. I've known Mike Fallahy for a very long time, had him done work at a couple of our houses over the years, and never have been disappointed. His team is phenomenal. They're all Marygrove employees. They're the best. And Marygrove can often install your awning in as little as 48 hours. That's not 6 weeks. That's not, oh, well, we'll call you. That's 48 hours. That's still this week. And that's because Mike Fallahy, that good friend of mine, and his family have been running Marygrove right here in Detroit for over 90 years. 90 years in this town means you either build it right or you're gone. And Marygrove is not gone. Marygrove only makes motorized awnings. No cranks, no shortcuts. You hit the remote, instant shade. Heavy-duty framing, fully enclosed housing to protect the fabric. Built-in LED lights. Adjustable pitch when the weather turns. And there are no middlemen, no random subcontractors. Real Marygrove employees installing it, backed by a 10-year warranty. I've invited them into my homes and never been disappointed. Here's what you do. You go to marygrove.com right now. Marygrove.com and book the free in-home appointment. It takes about 5 minutes. It's easy. It's low pressure. You could be sitting under your new awning in as little as 48 hours. Don't wait for the weather. Do it now and enjoy this additional space at your home. We call the backyard, only it's now the backyard under great control of your Marygrove awning. Go to marygrove.com, marygrove.com. Detroit built, 90 years strong, faster than anyone in the industry. Marygrove.com, or that number, you can sing it if you want, 1-800-44-AWNING, 1-800-44-AWNING. We continue on WJR. I found the note I was looking for from when we had Doug Johnson on from Cruise and Tour. They had a few cabins remaining for our big trip, the excellent adventure, August 11th through the 22nd of this year to Italy, France, Monaco, and Spain. And today is the day they have to turn them back in if somebody doesn't speak up and want them. I hope you'll join us. We got a nice group of fellow like-minded WJR listeners going. You'll make some lifelong friends. And if you go with us, you've gone before, you'll see some people that you remember traveling with, or new people. You'll become a part of the gang. And it's really, I ran into people on our trip this just a couple weeks ago with Kim who love Azamara. They say they love Azamara, which, you know, I'm not as familiar. But Azamara Onward is the ship we'll be on August 11th through the 22nd. Italy, France, Monaco, and Spain. This is the final day. And I hope they hang on to them all day today. But they were supposed to have them until April 14th, which is what today is. If there's any chance you want to join us on that excellent adventure, call 800-383-3131. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and you will make friends, like-minded, no political arguments at all. 800-383-3131, 800-383-3131. All right, we took care of that. I understand that Ryan is in the midst of an interview or something right now.
Oh, he's giving me the thumbs up, so I guess he just wrapped it up.
All right, I hope it was a good interview, Ryan. I'm sure it was. Is it going to be coming up on the show?
Actually, it was a Zoom call. I'm going to the Indianapolis 500 this year, and I had some coverage regarding that I had to take care of. But, Paul, you know I'm not going to miss an opportunity to speak with you. So I said, I got to go. I got to talk to Paul W.
I got to Zoom off this Zoom call. Well, I'll tell you this. You're going to love the Indy 500, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about it. I'll tell you one day of my experience. I had never been, but I went under the best of circumstances. But, again, tell me about what's going on for you today.
I'm going to talk heavily about this idea of the Pope and the president going back and forth with each other and all of the problems that can come from that. We're going to be talking to the former ambassador of the Holy See. We're going to do that next.
Boy, oh boy. All right. Here, let me help you with this. Let me predict the winner out of this battle between the Pope and the president. Nobody.
Exactly.
Nobody wins in something like this. Exactly. It shouldn't have even begun. It shouldn't have happened. Shame.
I agree. But that's what we're doing. And, well, you almost have to go, but I've got a lot more today. I'm fired up today, Paul.
This is
going to be a good
baton.
Show to listen to today.
Another good show, JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani. Stand by for news, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Regards, Paul W. Smith.